Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, welcome to Parshas Vayeshlanon. We're going to try to do a review on this Parsha. It's going to be tough. The Parsha opens up with Moshe praying to Hashem to let him enter the land of Israel. We'll discuss what that is, and Hashem says no. As a matter of fact, it's time to appoint the next leader of Israel, Yehoshua. Okay, then we're told a tremendous amount of mitzvahs in the Torah portion about not to add to the Torah, not to take away from the Torah. And we're warned that when you enter the land of Israel with Yehoshua, to keep the mitzvahs, keep the mitzvahs, keep the mitzvahs. Am I repeating myself? 23 times in the Torah, in some format, it's repeated to watch my mitzvahs and keep them and do them if you want to settle in the land peacefully. That's it. I don't know how many times it has to be repeated. Everybody does not understand what's going on. With all our Torahs, it's very simple. Keep the mitzvahs. Okay? After that, we're told about that the goyim have a certain hashgacha, supervision, nothing like Israel. We'll try to talk about that. Again, warned, be very careful. Don't forget the mitzvahs. Right? Then the Torah talks about how we were at Mahmud Har Sinai. We were at Mount Sinai, right? And how we were given the Ten Commandments. And how we saw Hashem tear the heavens asunder. And we saw that He was the only entity, the only reality. Unbelievable. Unbelievable verses. You have to look at this portion in detail. Beautiful Torah portion. Okay? After that, we have Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, doing the mitzvah of separating three cities of refuge, right, on the other side of the Jordan. And then we go into the Ten Commandments again. Okay? The Ten Commandments in this Torah portion represents the second tablets. The Ten Commandments in the first time we had them in Parshas Yisro represents the first tablets that were broken by Moshe. Okay? So, hopefully we'll discuss a little about that, Yitzhak Hashem. And then after that, we have the Shema. The Shema, Shema Yisrael, the first paragraph of the Shema. As a matter of fact, the sages tell us, they're juxtaposed to each other, and the sages tell us, why do we read Shema every day? Because in the three parshas of the Shema are the Ten Commandments. They're like hinted to in there. So there's a big connection between the Ten Commandments and Shema, both of them in our Torah portions, back to back. Then we're warned, when you go into Israel, be careful, you're going to have it all. And that's dangerous. Stay tuned. Okay? And then, the Torah portion towards the end, we are told the answer. We're told the answer to a basic, fundamental, you know, big, big question everybody has. Why do the ways of the wicked prosper? Our Torah portion gives you the answer. And also we have that chauvinistic phrase, the chosen people. Enjoy it. You're them. Every one of you is a prince and every one of you is a princess. Okay, and we'll discuss that and what goes with the territory. Okay? The beginning of the parsha, Vayeshlanon el Hashem, Ba'esa Hilamor, I pray to Hashem at that time saying, Vayeshlanon is a language of prayer. It equals a numerical value of 515. 515 prayers did Moshe Rabbeinu ask Hashem, let me enter the land of Israel. Right? Why now? Because, ready for this? Rashi brings it down. Just defeated Sihon and Og, and we entered their land, right? Right? That land is inhabited by 2.5 tribes of Israel. Remember? Last week's Torah from Dixie. Refer to it. Okay. Right? So what happened? Moshe said, I'm in the land of Israel. Perhaps the decree is revoked. You hear the connection? That Reuven, God, and half the tribe of Manasseh, they had a good forethought. Remember? That's what they thought, in fact. They thought, if we take this land, in retrospect, right, the decree of Moshe will be annulled, because here we are. We're settling in the land of Israel, and Moshe can stay as our leader. Well, here it is. Moshe asked at this time to enter the land of Israel, 515 prayers. He is denied to go into the land of Israel. It says, very interesting, He says, because of you guys, I wasn't allowed to enter the land of Israel. Which means simply because, you know, you caused me to sin, but also for your benefit. Resurrection of the dead, every great leader takes its flock into Israel. Moshe's flock is the desert. He has to be there. He has to be there to lead them during the resurrection of the dead. Also, right afterwards, verse 29, it says, we're at Beis Peor, you know, near Baal Peor. What's the connection there? The connection is that sin was so severe that every year it raises an accusation upon us. And Moshe's grave being there, right, kind of nullifies that kitrug, that accusation against us. That sin was so severe because it was a sin that we didn't want to part from. Okay? Now, the big lesson, one of the big lessons on that Moshe prayed 515 times to enter Israel and was denied. So, what would we say? What's the use? Pray, pray, pray. Moshe Rabbeinu prays, 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 and he's not answered. He doesn't get what he wants. It's a very fundamental lesson in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, what's our attitude? We don't get something we want. We're in exile. The temple's destroyed. Whatever it is. And this Torah portion has a tremendous amount to do with Tisha B'Av, as you'll see. Okay? So, we pray and pray. I did my part, Hashem. I prayed. You said, no, I'm not bitter. I don't complain. You said, no, I did my part. I know you know what's best. Right? And that's the lesson here. You gotta just do your part. Pray, do everything possible. 515 prayers. And then Hashem says no. And you accept it with love and simcha, the gezeir, the decree from heaven. It's a very big lesson. That's a big lesson. Okay? Because everything Hashem is arranging for our benefit. And there's a reason why you, Moshe, it's better for you not to go into the land of Israel. Can you imagine? Evidently, because Hashem said no. Hashem said no. To me, it seems like I want to go to Israel. I want to do the mitzvahs that only can be done in Israel. I'm going to try. Please revoke the decree. Then I did my part. I accept whatever you decree with love. Okay? Let's go on the Torah portion. Follow along with me, please, guys. Okay? So Moshe is taken up to the Mount of Pisgah, and he sees all the land of Israel. Okay? And Yahushua is commanded to be the next leader, and then we are warned, again, listen to the chukim, the statutes and the mitzvahs that I'm going to teach you, so that, this is chapter 4, verse 1, right? Right? La'asos la'ma'an tichyu, so you can live. U'basam u'rishnem es'aretz, so you can settle in the land of Israel. Once again, there it is. If you want to settle in the land of Israel, you have to adhere to the Torah mitzvahs. And that's why in 1948, we were against the settlement of the land of Israel, if it's going to be by a secular government. Because it will cause more problems than good. Witness what's happening. Don't get me wrong. Once Eretz Yisrael, once we have it, we try to imbue it with all the Torah we can. Right? Okay, so now we support Israel with our whole heart. Right? But, to begin with, to set up a secular government, right? And to be like every other nation? No. 23 times we're warned in this Torah portion, okay? Then, chapter 4, verse 2. Lo tosifu la'advar. Don't add to the mitzvahs of Hashem, right? And don't take away from them, right? Just do exactly what Hashem commands. And then, verse 3, because you know why? Because your eyes saw what God did to Baal Peor, every person and every man that went after Baal Peor, God destroyed. What is the connection? Ask Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz. What is the connection? God commands, don't take away from the mitzvah, don't add to the mitzvahs, right? Remember what Hashem did to Baal Peor and everybody who strayed afterwards. So if you remember, when we discussed Baal Peor, you know, and we said that was the idol worshiping where you made in front of it. That's how you worship this idol. And, you know, we made fun of it. And I was like, ridiculous, you know, how can you do such a thing? And we quoted Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz then. We said, It's not as silly as you think. It's a very sophisticated and very attractive avodah zarah, idol worshiping. It's the idol worship that says, do what you want. There's no boundaries, no gedorim. Anything goes. If it feels good, do it. No busha, no shame, no modesty. It's natural, right? That's what that idol worshiping, that avodah zarah told you to do. To do your needs in front of it and have relations. They had relations. I mean, I don't know if that was part of the idol worshiping of it, but your immorality and idol worshiping go hand in hand. I'll discuss that another time. But at any rate, that was the idol worshiping. So right before that, Hashem says, don't add to the mitzvahs. Don't take away. Remember what I did at Baal Peor. Baal Peor, that idol worshiping tells you you can do anything you want. No boundaries. No, that's not what Torah is about. That's not what Yiddishkeit is about. Boundaries. Exactness. Exactness. You have to do everything prescribed. You can't take away a minute, right, from Shabbos, or you violated Shabbos. Right? You can't add a fifth string to the tzitzis. Or you didn't do the mitzvah, you were over. You did a sin, right? Don't add, don't take away. Don't give women aliyahs. You become conservative, deformed. Right? Right? Don't try to add Torah portions. Don't take out Torah portions. Right? Don't touch the Torah. Do exactly like it's told. It's a divine mandate. It's not from man. Okay? And Baal Peor teaches the opposite. Baal Peor tries to teach the opposite. Anything goes. No boundaries. That's why it's here. But since Phil was itching for a question before he does this, I'm going to tell you this. Chapter 4, verse 8, right after this, Phil, it says the following. Okay, it says, Shmartim Asisam. Let's go to verse 6, first of all. You should keep and do these commandments. Why? Listen to this. You would think it says because God commanded you to do it, period. It says in verse 6, Kihi chachmaschem ubinaschem le'enei ha'omim. It is your wisdom and understanding in the eyes of the nation. They will hear that you're doing these mitzvahs and they'll say, Rak am chocham v'navon ha'goy ha'godol hazeh. They'll say, what a wise and understanding nation that does these Torah mitzvahs. Okay, so of course that's not why we do the mitzvahs. But the Torah is telling you, what is it telling you? You'll think, you know, for the goy to be impressed with you, you want to show that you can play on their playground, right? Right? And I can be as good a lawyer, a doctor, or everything else. Okay? It's true. It might impress them. But the ultimate, in the bottom line, what's going to impress the goy and not rouse their jealousy, which all those other things do, is adhering to the Torah and mitzvahs. Being a Torah observant Jew, that will show, in the end, the nations will realize you stick to it despite persecution, despite that you're a minority, despite what everyone else is doing, right? You adhere to what you're doing. You don't blow in the winds of whatever fads in style or vogue. They'll say, ooh, what a wise and understanding nation. They don't blow in the winds of whatever society says, whatever is politically correct. They adhere to a divine mandate. Okay? So that's one warning there. And again, it's repeated to keep the Torah mitzvahs over and over again. And in verse 8, it says, who is, again, it was talking about what the nations will say, who is like this nation who has such Torah mitzvahs, kechol ha-Torah hazot, like all this Torah. What is all this Torah? Says the Abarbanel, who was there during the Spanish Inquisition, says the key word here is entire, the entire Torah. In other words, for the Torah's infinite wisdom to be recognized, you can't take things out of context. It's only when it's studied and understood is in its entirety does it all fit. Remember that. All questions that you have. Okay? We're just scratching the surface. Okay? The Torah, again, is not a grab bag where you can pick and choose. You have to put everything in, you know, like selective service. No selective service in the Torah. You have to grab everything. Everything is there. You can't pick and choose, right? And again, like it says at the beginning of the Stone Chumash, the Torah is the blueprint, it's quoting from the Zohar, it's the blueprint of the world, and a blueprint of a complete edifice, a complete building, right? And unless you have every part of it, you're not going to understand. You're not going to understand, the building's going to collapse. Okay? Okay, so keep that in mind. Now, as a matter of fact, this Torah portion, as I mentioned, has a lot to do with Tisha B'Av. The portion that was read on Tisha B'Av is from our Torah portion, which we're going to get to shortly, God willing. Okay, then we're going to go on. The Torah goes on, and we have in chapter 4, verse 19, it talks about this special-like supervision that God has over the nations of the world. But it's not like our supervision, our special supervision. Okay? A very chauvinistic class today. Love it. Okay, we're the chosen people. That's in our Torah portion here, guys. Now listen to this. 19. If you cast your eyes to heaven, right, and you see Vareisus Hashemesh Vesayareyach Vesakochavim, the cold Savashmayim, you see the sun, the moon, the stars, and all the host of heavens, there really is something to constellations. Nobody knows it today. They lost this wisdom, okay? But there was something to it, okay? I mean, there still is. We just don't know how to lock into it. But the Torah is warning you, don't bow down to them. The original idol worshiping started like this. It started like this because they figured God is so great, can't deal directly with him, says Rambam. So, you know, I'll deal with his ministers. And slowly they forgot about God completely. But the point is, God did appoint, so to speak, as agents. The solar systems and stuff do have an effect on man's destiny, but not Israel. There it is. Don't serve them. Asher chalak Hashem Elokecha oisam lechol ha'omim tachas kol ha'shamayim. God gave that to the portion of the non-Jewish world. That's their portion, because they are tachas kol ha'shamayim. They're under the heavens. They are ruled by nature. Remember Avraham? He took Avraham Ahutsa, outside of nature. Right? Avraham couldn't have children. Sorry, Menu, our mother's side didn't even have a womb. Right? The nation of Israel is above nature, above the constellations, which represents nature. Right? Nature, Teva, locking into these things, that's for the nations of the world, destiny. Ein mazel b'Yisrael. There is no such thing as luck or destiny for Israel. We can change it. We have Torah and mitzvahs, and we're able to change destiny. An amazing, amazing concept. Truth. Okay? So that's the difference between us, one of the differences between us and the Jewish people, us and the goyim of the world. Hashem has a personal supervision over Israel. And while the nations of the world, he may supervise, but not directly, so to speak. Not with a loving, fatherly hand. Then we have verse 20. Remember, I told you many times, Divrei Torah aniim b'mkoimam v'ashirim b'makom acher. Words of Torah are poor in one place, but wealthy in another. You know, many times we have things that we spoke out, we didn't see in the verses. One of them, when I told you that Egypt was a cleansing furnace, that the Golus was good for us. It purified us somehow. Right? It helped us to learn how to become a servant to God. Right? It cleansed us of our sins. And that it's referred to as a cleansing furnace. Here it is. Verse 20. I took you out, right? Mikur Barzel. From the cleansing furnace, Mimitzrayim, from Egypt. Egypt was a cleansing furnace. And so is every exile. Obviously, had we not sinned, we wouldn't need to be purified in that manner. But even the exile, you see? Even the exile is good. Because it acts as a purification for the mistake we made. Okay? So there it is, Kor Barzel. Then we go on. Okay? Chapter 4 talks about Golus. Very interesting. We go from the Kor Barzel, the original Golus Mitzrayim, right, which we didn't get to finish, and therefore we're subject to these other four exiles. You know that? We talked about that. These other four exiles are just finishing up the amount of time we were supposed to be in Egypt. Okay? So listen to these verses. Very important. Verse 26, right? And let the heavens and the earth be witnesses that you will surely be destroyed off the land of Israel, right? When you go over there, because, right, you'll start worshiping idols, right? Again, the warning, if you don't want to hear to the mitzvahs, you won't stay on the land of Israel. Verse 27, and I'll spread you out amongst all the nations. Peace Hashem Elokechem ba'amim, v'nish'artem b'metei misbar. You'll be very few in number, the goyim, amongst the goyim. Right? Again. This is Tisha B'Av. This is Tisha B'Av. I'll spread you out amongst the nations. By the way, there's a bracha in that. There's always a bracha in the curse. The bracha is that there's never all Jews in one place. So when there's an inquisition, a holocaust, there's a pocket of Jewry someplace else. The exception, Purim. All of them are under Achashverosh. That's why it was such a critical time. Okay, but by and large, that we're spread out amongst all the nations, there's a blessing in there. That they can't get us. Because we're all spread out, and there's a remnant always around somewhere. Okay? So here, but anyways, going back to the Golas. Verse 28, this is the Golas and the Geula, and the redemption is predicted here. Va'avartem sham, right, Elohim ma'asad yadi adam, and you will worship idols of the hand of man, okay? And that could be not just wood and stone. That could be socialism, nationalism, communism, liberalism, right? All those things. All the, philosophical idols of the world. Eitz ve'evin, stone and wood, right? Okay? And then verse 29, here comes the redemption. What's going to happen? Ubikashtem misham. From there, from that exile, you'll request God, your God again. You'll finally come back. All right. And some people say, one commentary at least says, ubikashtem misham means you'll ask for God from there, from your personal goals. Each one of us has a personal, like Yetzer Hara, a personal, like exile that's keeping us down. For one person it might be honor seeking of honor, ego. For another person it might be desires and lust, right? For someone else, whatever it is, right? Okay, Bikashta Misham, from there, from your point of your personal exile, you'll cry out to God, Umesasa, and you'll find God. Kidereshenu, if you'll only search for Him, B'chol Avavka, B'chol Nafshka, with all your heart and soul, you'll find God. Okay, and then verse 30, Ubitzalacha, and when it gets really sores for you, Matzu'ucha kol devrim ha'ela, Ba'acharis hayomim, when it gets really bad, and all these things are going to happen to you at the end of days. At the end of days, the times of the Mashiach, what's going to happen? B'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, you'll return to Hashem, you will do tshuva, v'shamata b'kolo, and you'll listen to Him. Because God is all merciful, right? And He will never destroy you, and He will not forget, this is verse 31, He will not forget His covenant that He made to your fathers, right? We're never a rejected nation. Okay? Okay. From there, this goes on and on. Please, if you get a chance, look at it. It's beautiful. Then verse 35 tells us, Hatar Ras Ladas, you know that you were given the knowledge to know at Mount Sinai that there's only Hashem, Ein Od Milvado. There is no other reality. That's what it means. So strong is this verse that there was an incident of the great Rav in the Holocaust, and the segula is if a person concentrates on this verse and really believes in it, right? That there's God, no other reality, no harm can come to him. And he was on the train. Sure enough, the Nazis went right by him, like they didn't even see him. It was an amazing, amazing story. But anyways, we'll talk about it later. This is a very mystical verse. Okay. Also, by the way, the verse from the Torah, it's a Torah verse that we say in Aleinu all the time. It looks a little similar to this, is in verse 39. Ve'yadat hayom, you shall know this day, ve'shavosa elavavecha. Not enough just to know. Place it in your heart. Ki Hashem hu Elokim, God is God. B'shamayim ha'avaz m'tachas, in heavens and earth. Einod, there is no other. He's not just in heavens. He's on earth. He's involved in the affairs of man. Einod, there is no other. That's it. There's no other reality. Again, they say that the distance between heaven, there's a Gemara on this, the distance between earth and heaven is like 500 miles or something like that, 500 miles. And they say the distance between a person's mind and his heart is further. You can have a yedia. You can know something. You can know something. The trick is to put it in the bones. Place it in your heart. Act upon it. It's not good enough just to know. Right? And that's going to connect with the Ten Commandments in a second. Okay? What do I mean? What do I mean? So, this I heard from my friend. If you notice, the Ten Commandments, which comes right up after this, in chapter 5, verse 6, starts off, you know, Ten Commandments are divided into two tablets. The first five are ben Adam l'makom, between man and God, and the last five, ben Adam l'chavero, between man and man, right? So if you notice, the ones that start between man and God, they start off conceptually, intellectually. Know that there's God. Don't worship other gods. But that's not good enough. You can't be a good Jew at heart. You have to implement it into action. And it continues. Don't take his name in vain. Observe the Shabbos. Honor your parents who are partners with God. Okay? See, in your relationship to God, it starts off conceptually, intellectually. Know there's a God. Don't have any other gods. But that's not good enough. You have to do the mitzvahs. You have to do the action. And then the last five, between man and man, interrelations, it's just the opposite. It starts off by don't harm your fellow Jew. Don't murder. Don't steal. Right? Well, actually, it's don't kidnap. It's don't kidnap, actually. Okay? Don't physical actions don't do, but that's not good enough. When it comes to relationships with your fellow Jew, it's not good enough not just to do harm to them. Also, conceptually, you got to wish for his welfare. And that's why the Ten Commandments end with, don't even desire something your fellow Jew has, your neighbor has. You hear? Again, the first five between a man and God starts out conceptually telling you that's not enough to be intellectually in tune to God. You got to put it into action. You got to know and place it in your heart. You got to do physical mitzvahs. Not good enough to be a good Jew at heart. And when it comes between man and man, it's the opposite. It's not good enough just not to harm your fellow man. You got to wish good for your fellow Jew. You can't even think bad of the fellow Jew, okay? Okay, let's talk about the Ten Commandments. It says in chapter 5, verse 4, Ponim el b'ponim b'ponim. You saw God face to face. The only other time that's used is Moshe's prophecy with God. We were like on that level almost at Mount Sinai. That's all of us, by the way. All our souls were there. Okay? And then it says, verse 5, Anoichi Oimed Ben Hashem Ubeneichem. I stood between you and God. And here's another one of those things that we mentioned in Yisrael. It wasn't written, and here it's written. Right? Remember we said it was too much for us? You know? Well, here it is. It's all spelled out. If you look at verses 22 through 24, you know, he said to Hashem, why should we die? You know, who ever heard the voice of Hashem, right? If we hear more of the voice of Hashem, the Masnu will die. How is it possible, flesh and blood, to hear the voice of Hashem and live, right? Karat Ata, verse 24, you go and listen to Hashem, right? And everything that Hashem tells you, Tidaber Aleinu, you speak to us. As Kol Asher Yidaber Hashem Elokeinu Alecha, V'Shamanu V'Asinu. Everything Hashem speaks to you, we'll listen to it from you, and we'll do it, right? And therefore, when we thought Moshe was dead, we looked for an intermediary. We were scared to deal with Hashem directly. And then we went to the whole mystical concept of the golden calf. But from here is the answer to another fundamental question. Why doesn't God speak to us anymore? We set it up in the system that God uses a prophet, right? He uses man as a conduit because it was too much for us, direct revelation. This set up the system of prophecy, okay? Now, going back to the beginning of the Ten Commandments, there's a little play on word by the Kotzker Rebbe. Anoichi Omed Ben Hashem Uvenechem. I'm standing. It means specifically, I'm standing between you and God. But he says, Anoichi means I, the ego. Anoichius. The Anoichius. That's what stands between us and God. That's the barrier. It's the Anoichius. The Anoichi. Me. Ich bin. You know, I'm a somebody. I have a deah. I'm not a robot. I don't have to be told what to do. Right? That's what stands between me and God. The Anoichi. the ego. That's what keeps us from doing God's will a lot of times. It's a very sharp word. Okay? Remember, we said, hang on a second. The first two commandments are in first person, because Hashem gave it to us himself. And then from the third commandment on, and we said, you know, Moshe, right? We just read it. You give it to us, right? Therefore, you'll see slight changes from the first 10 commandments in Yisrael to these. But those first two are exactly the same, because they were given by Hashem himself. Okay? Again, I have to warn, verse 11, the third of the Ten Commandments, Lo tisa Hashem Elokecha l'shav, don't say God's name in vain, and that goes for any language. As a matter of fact, in our Torah portion, we have the mitzvah to love God and to fear God, and one of the commentaries says, what does it mean to fear God? It says, any time a person says God's name in vain, he says it in vain, he has violated, it's a Gemara. It's a Gemara. He has violated this mitzvah of Es Hashem Lokecha Tira. You should fear the Lord your God every time you take his name in vain. Okay? And speaking of that, Es always comes to include something. Right? Es, like a Kaved Es Avicha Vesimecha, honor your father, your mother. So the Es comes to tell you your older brother. Also, you have to give him honor. So what is the Es Hashem Elokecha Tira? You should fear God. Es comes to include something else. And says the Gemara in Pesachim, L'rabos Talmidei Chachamim. It comes to include God's ambassadors on earth. His sages, his Torah scholars. And by the same token, where it says, V'ahavtes Hashem Elokecha, right, in the Shema, which God we're going to get to in a few minutes, right? The Ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha. What does the Es come to include? The Torah. Again, merely another agency of God on earth. You understand? Why do we stand for a Torah stage and we also stand for a Sefer Torah? Why do we fear God, reverence, awe? That's a more proper word, right? And for a Torah stage, for God and the Torah stage. And we love God and the Torah. Because they're all the same, right? Yisrael, the Reis, Kodesh Baruch Hu Chadru. Right? Hashem, the Torah, and his scholars are all the same. Because we're talking about completely, you know, nullified to do the will of God. Okay, so that's the connection between these things. Okay, we're going to move on. I will take questions in a moment. If you go and look at chapter 5, verse 27, again, one of those things that we mentioned before in Baal Yitzchak, but here we see it. After the giving of the Ten Commandments, which we're not elaborating on too much because we spoke about it in Parshas Yisro, it's Hashem says in verse 27, tell the people, Shuvu lachem lo aleichem. Let them go back to their tents. In other words, no division between shul and state. You're here at Mount Sinai, you got the Torah, now take it home. Take it home, implement it. Implement it. Put it in part of your lives. Or lechem, ohel, is also a code word, if you will, for a wife. Because she's the mainstay of the home, domestic. She makes the atmosphere of the home. That's the ohel. Okay? So therefore, it also means go back to having relations. Okay? Because they separated from having relations for 3 days. But look at the next verse. Ve'ata po amodi madi. Hashem says to Moshe, you don't go back to your tent. You stay here with me. The Adamba Alecha is called mitzvahs v'chukim, because I'm going to speak to you all the Torah mitzvahs. Moshe, in constant communication with God, is a constant Mamud Har Sinai, a constant revelation of Mount Sinai. Here, he took the hint to separate from his wife. Remember? We spoke it out, but here's where we learn it out. Verse 29, Shmartem, again, one of the 23 times it's repeated here in some format, Ushmartem, Asisim, keep, do all the mitzvahs of Hashem, lo sasuru yamin u'smol, don't deviate left or right. Gemara says, even if the sages tell you, right, when it seems to you, left is right, and right is left, do it. Because, Lamaisa, you're wrong. They have an oiskuk, they have a Torah vision, they're not biased, they have a clear vision. And the truth is, you can almost bet on it. There's an expression, das bal baltim hefach das Torah, that usually the layman, their opinion is always the opposite of what Torah is. I mean, that's really, the secular world, I mean, Avram, this is how Avram became religious. Avram came from because he says he's an Ivri. He's from the other side of Jordan. He saw what everybody else was doing and said, aha, I'll do the opposite. Because by and large, everybody's doing is just, they're just following everybody else. Okay. Now, let's go into the Shema, gang. Chapter 6, verse 4. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Many, many things. I can't talk about it all. Shema is an acronym for Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv, the three prayer service. Backwards, it's an acronym for Ol Malchus Shemayim, taking on the yoke of heaven. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to make Hashem you're crowning Hashem. You're accepting the sovereignty of Hashem over the whole world. And it's hinted to in the last word, Echad. Aleph, Hashem is one. The Chet is eight, numerical value eight, in the seven heavens above and in the earth below. And the Dalet, four, in the four directions. Rav Salanter warns, while you're busy making God the sovereign and king in the seven heavens and the earth below and the four corners of the earth, don't forget to make him king over you. There's a lot to that. Okay? Also, you notice the ayin is enlarged, the dalet is enlarged. Ed, witness. We are witnessing, we're testifying that God is God, and there's no other. And also, it's a testimony. Talking about Tisha B'Av, exile, in this parsha, it's a testimony of the existence of God that there's still Jews in the world saying Shema. That, if nothing else, proves that there's a God in the world. Because no one else could survive any one of the Inquisitions, Holocausts, everything else that we've survived. And there's still Jews saying Shema Yisrael. That's a testimony that God is one. And again, the attribute of mercy, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, Hashem, Elokeinu, the attribute of justice, Echad, it's one. Rachum Medin, he's merciful in judgment. It's all coming out, it's all Hashem. Hashem, mercy, Elokeinu, judgment, Hashem. It's all mercy. Right? And that connects with the next verse. V'ahavtet Hashem Elokecha, you shall love God. Right? B'chol levavcha, with both your hearts. I mean, how many hearts does a person have? B'chol levavcha means with two hearts. It means with your yetzer hara. Right? You're tempted to do something, you don't do it. You serve God, so to speak, with your good inclination and your evil. It also means don't let your heart be chaluk, divided. Don't suspect Hashem or question Hashem. Be wholehearted with Hashem. Right? All those expressions come from here, right? Take it to heart. That was from V'yadata Hayom V'shavas Elovecha. Know today and place in your heart. Take it to heart. And here, be wholehearted. Be wholehearted in your service of Hashem. So that means, it means a lot of things. But one of the things it means, again, what we think is bad, the attribute of judgment is good. It says that we have to thank Hashem for the bad like we would the good. Right? And it's right here in this verse. You should love Hashem b'chol levavcha, with all your heart. B'chol, that means, you know, okay, well, we say yetzirah. B'chol nafshcha, even to the point of giving up your life. B'chol mildecha means with every mida, with every measure he dishes out to you. You don't complain. You're not bitter. You thank Hashem because you know whatever, you know that Hashem is running the show and it's going to be for the ultimate benefit. And that's the test of faith. Test, Amunah does not believe, mean belief in God. Amunah means there's something ambiguous. The existence of God is not ambiguous. It's a fact. Amunah steps in when you try to understand and comprehend God's actions in the world. Why these things are happening. That's where Amunah steps in. That's faith. That's trust. Okay? Also, by the way, they say these three attributes are from the patriarchs. The Avos. The Ahavta is the same letters. The Ha'Avos, says the Baal Turim. B'chol Avavka, with all your heart, acts of chesed, kindness. That's Avraham. B'chol Nafsha, to give up your life. That's who? Yitzchak, right? He's bound on the Kedah. The Chumudachov, with every measure and measure. Anything that's dished out to you, that's Yaakov. Right? His brother wants to kill him. Love in 20 years, switches wages. His wife is switched on him. Rachel dies in childbirth. He thinks Yosef is dead. His daughter is raped, right? He thinks Yosef is dead. All, right? That everything happened to him, all the discern. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. It goes in a hierarchy. We always think of the greatest way to serve God is be willing to give up your life for it. right? Which certainly is a high level. But you see that second, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, give up your life. And there's a higher service, not only to die for God, but to go on, not to die as a Jew, but a higher service than dying as a Jew is to go on living as a Jew with the source, with the Yisurim. That's us. The Holocaust, they died because they were Jews. We are serving God on a higher level, in a certain sense, because we're survivors, or we're children of survivors, or psychologically, intellectually, emotionally, we can't deal with the Holocaust. That's our affliction, right? And we go on serving God as a Jew, and not giving up our lives, which doesn't just mean physically, it means just giving up our lives of Yiddishkeit and going into the secular world. Okay, so this is the key. This is our shvach, our praise. Okay? Also, in the Shema, there's the mitzvah of the mezuzahs, and tefillin is in the Shema. And also, verse 7, the debartabam, you shall speak them, says Rashi, and he quotes the Gemara, shelo ye'ike debarecha elabam, that your main speech should be Torah. You hear? Debartabam, speak in words of Torah, that should be your main speech. Very important. Okay? Okay, now, we go back to the land of Israel. You're about to enter the land of Israel, right? Look down at chapter 6, verse 10. Vayad, Raiki v'yecha, Asher v'okecha l'eretz, you'll come to the land that you swore to your fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and you'll come to great cities, right, that you didn't build, right? Verse 11, and houses, ubati malaim kol tuv, houses filled with all sorts of goodness. Yeah, asher lo milesa, that you didn't fill up, right? Uboyres chatzuvim, what else you got there? Geshmak, wells, springs, right, that you didn't dig. Kramim and vineyards, v'zeisim, olives, that you didn't plant, right? V'achalta v'savata, and you'll eat and you'll be satisfied. Verse 12, yishamer lecha, be careful. Uh-oh, materialism, gashmias, the good life, luxury, be careful, pentishkach sashem lokecha, that you'll forget God, right? Prosperity is a narcotic that sends the soul to sleep, that took you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. That's why he took you out, by the way. He took you out to be his servants. That's the whole person we're out of Egypt. Do you hear this? What are we talking about here? Look at this. Gashmias, luxury, comforts. You're going to come in. What did they have? For sure they didn't have air conditioning, right? For sure they didn't have wall-to-wall carpets. They didn't have garages. They didn't have boats, right? They didn't have cable TV. What are we talking about? Such big gashmias here. Such materialism. They got springs, vineyards, olives, houses. That's what we're talking about. I mean, how nice could it be? Right? How nice could it be? No electricity, no indoor plumbing. I mean, how nice could it be? And yet the Torah warns, V'achalta v'savata, you're going to eat from the materialistic world and be satisfied. Be careful. That's going to stray you away from God. And this is not the only time. This is repeated many times in the Torah. That more often than not, the luxury, the materialism that we get, instead of utilizing it to have a peace of mind and serve God, it distracts us. We forget about God. As I heard talking from my friend, he says, Hashem, the name, one of the names of Hashem is Shakai, die. Actually, I changed, okay? Which means enough. Die means enough. Because originally, when you planted, you should have gotten a loaf of bread, not wheat. Right? You should have gotten, whatever it is, linen, you should have gotten a suit of clothes. Hashem said enough. He stopped, he curtailed nature to only do this much. And you know why? Because any more, too much of a good thing ruins us. We get spoiled, and we forget God. We can't have too much of a good thing. So he said, lo yilam dai, that's enough. Just do that much, he said to his world, to his nature, how he set it up. No more. And too much good. And look at the generation of the flood. Spring-like weather all year round. They only had a plant once in 40 years. What did they do? Most corrupt nation. Most corrupt generation. Completely wiped out. Right? Saddam. Saddam is described like Gan Eden. Saddam is described like Gan Eden. Like Gan Eden. You know, they had gold and silver in the backyards. And what did they do? Immorality, wiped themselves out. Okay, so that's the warning here. Okay, moving on. Okay, we go on, and now I'm going to go towards the end of the parsha because then I want to go back and hit some highlights. Here it is, a warning in chapter 7, verse 2. And you'll go into the land of Israel, and you shall wipe them out. Lo tikrois lahem bris. Don't make a peace treaty with them. Okay. Enough said on that one. Chapter 7, going on the next page. Here's the chauvinistic phrase. Chapter 7, verse 6. I want you all to enjoy this. I want your heart to swell up with pride. Ki am kodesh ata l'Hashem Elokecha. You are a holy nation to the Lord your God. Bacha Bachar. You are the chosen people. Hashem Elokecha liyaslo am segula. To be the most beloved of all the nations on the face of the earth. That's it. That's it. That's us. Oh, but there's more. Why? One of the reasons. Lo meruvchem mikolamim chashak Hashem bachem. Not because you're many. Did Hashem choose you? Vayivchar bechem. Ki atem hama'at mikol amim. Because you're the least of all the nations. Okay, that means we're small in number. But it also means, because when Hashem gives us good, we mamat. We put ourselves down. We are humble. We don't let it get to our head. We don't go around and saying, I'm the chosen people or you're a piece of dirt. We don't go around doing that. We realize, or we should, with it comes the responsibility. With it means, if we're the ambassadors, if we're the king's favorite son, ooh, there can't be a button unbuttoned, right? We have to be on strict account. And if we do something wrong, we're going to be potched and hit and punished like no other nation. Because we are the chosen people. We're his most beloved. He expects more of us. He expects more of us. So if they sin, okay, they may get punished, but not like us. Nobody will have persecutions like the Jewish people when they stray. Because when we live up to this, chosen people, we're like the stars of the heaven. And when we don't, we're going to be trampled on like the dust of the earth. It goes together. The obligation, responsibility goes with it. So that's what it means to be the chosen people. It's Hilu Birada, trembling while rejoicing. I'm so happy, I'm a Yid. Baruch Hashem, Shalom Asani Goy. It's a real bracha. Thank you for not making me a Goy. But at the same time, while I'm in this joy, I have tremendous trepidations. Yeah, I got can I live up to it? I have to serve on such a high level, right? You don't have time to be haughty. Okay? Now, I'll save it for the end, guys. The classical question, why do bad things happen to good people? Okie doke, here it is. Chapter 7, verse 10. Umishalem l'sainav el ponav. God pays the wicked to their face. La'avido, to wipe them out. Lo ya'acher. Hashem will not delay l'sainav to his enemies to pay them. El ponav yishalem lo. He'll pay them to their face. Okay? Hold on to it, guys. Remember that. God pays them to their face. Okay. We discussed it. This majority world, minority world. The majority world is the world of eternity. Right? That's where you get paid for the majority of your deeds. Right? This is the minority world. You get paid for the minority of your deeds. What do I mean? If you're a tzaddik, if you're righteous, the majority of your deeds are mitzvahs. So you get paid in the majority world. The minority of your deeds are sins. So you pay them off your debt in the minority world. And the opposite. A person's wicked, the majority of his deeds are wicked, are sins, so he pays them off in the majority world. The internal world, he gets retribution. And the minority of his deeds are good, so he gets those here. And that's what it says. God pays them to their face in this world, says Unclus. La'avido, to wipe them out of the next world. He's not going to delay to pay them. So what few mitzvahs they have, they get paid off in this world. Now, I got a question for you. Look at the last verse. Keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, right? The very last two words of our Torah portion, Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Yom, that I command you today, la'asoisam, to do, Today's to do them, says Rashi. Ulamachar le'olam haba li'atol scharam. Tomorrow, the next world, in other words, that's when you get reward for mitzvahs. You don't get reward for mitzvahs in this world. The rule is schar mitzvah b'hai amaleika. You can't get rewarded for a mitzvah in this world. Too great. You just can't. You can't. All the pleasures in this world can equal payment for a mitzvah. So, what's going on? It seems like Kadosh Baruch Hu, is paying the wicked for their mitzvahs in this world. We just say you can't get paid for mitzvahs in this world. Today's to do, tomorrow to do. There's one way you can. Hashem pays you according to your own currency. You understand? What's important to you? Hashem will pay you accordingly. For the wicked person, he doesn't think the spirituality is much. He thinks it's inferior to the physical pleasures. If you paid him off in a spiritual currency, he would feel gypped. He would feel shafted. Right? So Hashem says, fine, I'll pay you in the terms that you want. You want this world? You got it. And he pays him off in this world with all his honor and pleasures and desires and lust. Okay? That's one of the answers. Okay? To that classical question. Okay, now, I want to tell you a few other things. I got to tell you one thing. There's another question on this. The question on this is the second paragraph of the Shema, what we have throughout our Torah portion. If you do the mitzvahs, the rain will fall this time, and I'll give you good things. Right? If you do the mitzvahs, I'll give you good things in this world. Hello? Guys, remember, we just read, you don't get paid off for mitzvahs in this world. So what does that mean? So, the Torah Tamima says, and we mentioned this yesterday, that's not the reward. That is, b'derech she'adam roitzeh lelech melichim ito. The way a man wants to be led, he's led. You show yourself, you want to do mitzvahs? Therefore, I'm going to make it easier for you to do mitzvahs. I'm going to pave the road for you in this world that you have the rain fall at its proper time. You don't have to muchuk zayin about putting food on the table or being persecuted or pogroms, and you can concentrate on spirituality. But that's not the reward for the mitzvahs. That's because I lead you on the way you want to go. You want to do spirituality? I'm going to make it easier for you, says Hashem. And that's what we read in Pirkei Avos, right? If you fulfill the Torah out of poverty, Hashem will bless you to fill it out of wealth, if you use it properly. But if not, right, if you don't fulfill the Torah out of wealth, chalta v'slavata, you should be satisfied. Yishomer lecha, be careful. Hashem may have to take it away. And that's our test in America. That's our test, guys. We never had a time like this. I'm not going to go into it again, but we elaborated yesterday about it. That's the test of America. How we handle the materialism. Do we use it to strengthen ourselves in Avodas Hashem? Okay, a couple more notes. Chapter 4, verses 25 through 40. Okay? This passage is what's read on Tish B'Av. And describes us going after idol worship and stuff. And describes how after being in Israel for a long time, we would lose our sense of the newness of serving God. That's our biggest problem. We our brachas, our mitzvahs, they get old, right? We would lose it and look for new stimuli, new lifestyles, right? That's what they're doing today with all these fads, right? Yeah, well, imitate the neighbors, whatever they're into. That's what it means to be a good person, right? These animal activists, environmental wackos, right? It's not bad in itself. It's that they substitute religion for it. That's what makes it bad. They want something new. I guarantee you, 15 years from now, it'll be something else, right? So that's what we did in Israel. We looked for new stimuli and lifestyles of what everybody else is doing, the Goyim, right? And today, again, that means a different type of avodah zarah, different types of philosophies that are very dangerously attract Jews all the time, right? And then the chapter ends with the reassurance, eventually Jews will go back to their origins. That neshama will be channeled, the goodness of the Jewish neshama will be channeled back. But it's warning you here, and it's repeated throughout all generations. Okay? Something else? Okay, the mitzvah to love Hashem, the mitzvah to fear Hashem is in our Torah portion. The truth is, All love and all fear is supposed to be channeled to God. A person really needs to lock in on this. There's no reason, if you truly have fear, meaning awe and reverence, should we all be directed to Hashem. There's a lot in there. Things that happen in the world we don't understand, there's another answer in our Torah. Ki mi'avas Hashem eschem. Because Hashem loves you. That's why it happens. If He didn't love you, He wouldn't chastise you. He wouldn't punish you. That's a key answer to many things that we don't understand. Ki mi'avas Hashem eschem. That's what it means, v'ahavta Hashem elokecha. You love God. You love God. You know what love God means? God is my beloved. I don't have a question on Him. And if you question God, you speak Lashon Hara on my father, right? Someone spoke Lashon Hara on your father and mother, you'd be burning mad. I know they love me. They're doing what's best for me. How dare you speak Lashon Hara on them? That's what we have to feel about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Our love has to be so strong, people question, how can there be a God? How can He let this happen? What's wrong with you? I love God. I know He loves me. I know He's doing what's best for us. Don't speak Lashon Hara about Hashem. I know what He's doing. He's like, I love Him. That's what it means. Real love in the bones. Gotta get a hold of that. Okay. The article in Torah for Dixie, I'm not going to elaborate on this, but at the beginning of the parsha it says, let me go over and see the good of the land. A person should always pray to see the good in everything, in every situation. And again, this goes hand in hand with what we've been talking about in God's, you know, we have such tunnel vision that we think calamities are the end all and there's no remedy. We don't understand the final product of all these things are going to bring, right? A person always has to pray like Moshe. Let me see the good of the land of Israel. Yes. Let me see the good in everything that happens. And Ayin Tova says in Pirkei Avos, we always have to pray to see the good in everything, okay? And if that's what it means in chapter 4. Verse 7. Mi goy gadol asher lo Elokim. Who's this nation who has Elokim, the God of judgment, kroivim alav, trying to bring them karov, close to them. When God punishes us, the attribute of judgment, it's not like when He punishes the goyim. He punishes the goyim when they do bad to us, momish vengeance. But when He punishes us, it's like a father who chastises his son. It's for our benefit. Because He wants us to behave. He wants us to be good. He loves us. It's that there's no difference. That's what it means. You thank Hashem for the bad and the good, going back to what we said before. What does it mean? If you do good and a parent gives you a reward, that's a display of love. And if you do bad and the parent punishes you, that's a display of love. You got to thank for both. They're both a displayment of love. Okay? And it says here, the Sfas Emes brings down, whenever there's about to be another salvation, a big salvation, at the beginning there's affliction. The birth pangs. There's birth pangs before the birth. Okay? So always, from the Tzoras comes the Yeshua. A lot of people say the state of Israel, I don't know, 1948 after the Holocaust, is a stepping stone. I don't know how that works exactly. But we always have to remember that. In the Tzoras is the seeds of Gula. That's represented by Tisha B'Av. It says on Tisha B'Av, the time of ultimate catastrophe and disaster, the Mashiach is born. The redemption is starting. The fact that we mourn on Tisha B'Av, right? That in itself, we said, is a sign, right? That we can mourn over the destruction of the temple, that we miss it. That's already the seeds of redemption have started. The Gemara says, what does it mean to love God b'chol nafshecha? To serve God with all your soul? To be willing to give up your life? It says from this, the Chiddush Yarim, what must it mean to serve Hashem b'chol levavcha with all your heart? Even when you have no heart, when your heart's been taken away from you. Just like B'chol Nafshecha, when your soul's taken away from you, you know, die, Kiddush Hashem, sometimes you have to serve Hashem when you have no heart to. You just don't feel like it. You just have no geschmack. You're tired, you're down, you have problems. Even at those times, a person has to try to serve Hashem, do what he can. At that stage, you sit there, you mumbling in praise, you don't know what you said. That could be the most beloved prayer to Hashem. Because dafka, when you didn't feel like it, when you're down and out, I still try to serve you. I still try to serve you. That's very important. That's the quality of our service to Hashem is not sometimes when we're all full of zeal and enthusiasm. It's those times that we don't feel like doing, we still try to do the best we can. That is serving Hashem with our whole heart. Thank you very much.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, And if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.